All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Exodus. Tonight we begin a real challenging thought for Egypt. Notice, if you would, Exodus chapter 7. Now notice with me, if you would, Roman numeral 1, the Lord reminded Moses of who he is and told Moses what was going to happen with Pharaoh and Egypt. You look verse 29 of chapter 6, that the Lord spake unto Moses saying, I am the Lord. Now he's given him some real encouragement, but you'll notice, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. Now you'll notice, if you would, in verse 1, he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. Because Moses was so accurate in his statements, and they came to pass, the Pharaoh considered him as a god. It didn't take much, but he considered him as a god. Now you'll notice, he says in verse 2, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. So the Lord is speaking to Moses. He speaks to us the same way. He said, look, I want you to understand, you only speak what I say. And so I can back up what I say, but not what you say necessarily. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, there's been a lot of question about if he said, I'm going to harden his heart. Really, the way the Lord hardens anybody's heart, he just steps back and doesn't prevent the hardening. Hardening comes naturally. And so if the Lord doesn't help us, we're going to develop a hard heart. That's the reason you need to yield to the Holy Spirit. The day you get saved, we're blessed with the Holy Spirit that enters our heart. And the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. He points out what sin is. He gives us direction. He guides our steps. And so if the Holy Spirit is silenced, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, then the Lord steps back. We're on our own, and the old devil steps in, and our heart is hardened. And so it's not necessarily that the Lord physically hardens his heart. He just doesn't help him keep a tender heart. And so as a result, you'll notice, he says, I'll just harden his heart by not helping. And so that's the reason all of us in this room, we need the Lord. Or you'll develop a hard heart. Every one of us. Lord, give me a soft heart. Give me a tender heart. And then the Lord steps in and does. But if you don't pray and ask the Lord to give you a tender heart and a soft heart, and the Lord doesn't help, your heart grows harder and harder and harder. And that's exactly what happened to Pharaoh. So notice with me, if you would, in verse number 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. So he said, Pharaoh's not going to listen to what you say. And the reason is, I'm going to use his stubbornness to display my power to all the Egyptians and to my people Israel. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse 5, and this is a real key verse. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And there is the purpose of the plagues. So when you begin to look back and say, I wonder what the greatest purpose of these plagues were, it was so that Egypt knew that the Lord was real. And so you'll also see that as these plagues go through, the Lord's working on all their hearts. He has several purposes for these plagues. One is at the end to provide wealth and prosperity for the children of Israel. Remember, for hundreds of years, they've been being mistreated. And they are penniless. And the Lord said, you're not going to leave Egypt without wealth. I'm going to take it from the people that have taken it from you and give it back to you. So you'll notice in the outline, A, God strengthened Moses in his faith before the contest with Pharaoh. You'll notice that the Lord's working on Moses and strengthening him. And you know, anytime a test comes, the Lord does that for us. He strengthens us. Maybe some little quizzes along the way before the big test. But he gives us challenges along the way. He gives us encouragement along the way. He strengthens us. If you'll notice, take your Bible and turn back to chapter 6, if you would, and verse number 1. Now watch this passage. He's trying to encourage Moses. He's trying to prepare him for the battle ahead. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. You're going to see my mighty hand. Notice, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." Why? Because I've worked on his heart. Notice, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord." Anytime you see that passage, that thought, I am the Lord, L-O-R-D is the translation into English, Yahweh. Yahweh in the Israelite text has no vowels. In essence, it can't really be pronounced. I'm pronouncing it using vowels, but it's four letters. YWH, these four letters go together. And the idea is that you're looking at this name without vowels, and it's sort of like it's someone so special that you can't pronounce it. And he said, "I am the Lord." And so all the other gods in this world have a name and it's a pronunciation. He's the sun god, the moon god, but not this god. They put in a couple letters of vowels so they can say the name. But you'll notice here, he says in verse number three, "I appeared unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and by the name of God Almighty. But by my name of Jehovah was I not known." So you can see him say, here's the Hebrew translation of Yahweh, Jehovah. And so you'll notice he says to them, the Israelites or the Hebrew scholars put the vowels in there. We think that's what they are, but we don't know that. So you'll notice if you would, he says, "Look, I am the God of heaven." He's trying to encourage Moses with his might and strength. "Moses, I'll be with you." Now notice, if you would, B in the outline, God knew Pharaoh would not listen, but his plan was to show his mighty power that all Egypt would know God. We went over that a while ago in chapter 7. And notice this, C, God knew Pharaoh would ask Moses for a miracle to prove God sent him. And he was prepared. And now look over in chapter 7, verse number 9. So the Lord sends Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh, being a very humanistic man, said, "Okay, if you're so great, then give me some proof that God sent you." So notice, if you would, in verse number 9, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you." He was not just wanting to see a miracle. He was wanting to see evidence that they were from God. And you've got to understand, that was the reason for the New Testament miracles of Jesus Christ, was to give people proofs and evidence that he was real. And so whenever the Pharisees would say, "Show us a miracle," he wouldn't do it. But when it was a man crying out for help, a leper, he would do it. So the Lord is not interested in revealing himself to doubters. He is interested in revealing himself to people that are seekers, that are looking for the truth. And so anytime you want the mighty power of the Lord, you seek him and he'll be found. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, see, God knew Pharaoh would ask Moses for this miracle in verse 9. And so he says, look at verse 9, he prepares him for this. And God prepares us too. How many of you remember going through school, maybe it was junior high or high school, and the teacher would say, "I'm going to give you the answers in this class." And you would take notes, and you'll get all the answers if you take notes. Well, the Lord's giving Moses all the answers. So notice if you would, he says in verse 9, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So even before they go to Pharaoh, both Moses knows what to do. And I would imagine he said, Aaron, now listen, what's going to happen is Pharaoh, we're going to go in. Pharaoh's going to say, show me a miracle. Give me some proof that you're from your God. And he said, you take your rod and throw it down, it'll become a serpent. And so I can just imagine what, now Moses is a man of faith at this point in time. I can imagine what Aaron thought when he gets there and notice verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, you notice in the outline, Roman numeral 2, the heart of Pharaoh took a long time to break. It took 10 different plagues for him to break. Not miracles. There were more miracles done than 10, but 10 plagues. Notice, if you would, A, Moses' rod became a serpent, and notice this, and ate all of Pharaoh's sorcerer's serpents. Now look, if you would, in verse number 11. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. This is the power of the old devil. But if I've got magicians, or if I've got sorcerers, or if I've got people on my side, I don't tell them, hey, see if you can match it. I say, get rid of the serpent. Notice what happens. Verse 12. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, A, Moses' rod became a serpent, ate up all their rods and their serpents. And you'll notice, B, Pharaoh was not impressed and said no to Israel leaving. So the idea is, look, I'm not impressed with you making serpents out of your rod. My men can do that too. Notice, if you would, in C in the outline, however, Pharaoh was warned before all the plagues started that God would slay his firstborn son if he refused to let Israel go. Most people don't realize that God told Pharaoh before anything started, if you don't let my people go, you're going to lose your firstborn son. Notice, if you would, look back over in Exodus 4 in verse 22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord Israel, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now, the Lord is setting it up for Pharaoh to get a clear warning. 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, my firstborn go. Now, this is 600,000 people. Let my people go. And he calls them a son. It's women, children, husbands and wives. Let my son go that he may serve me. That's the purpose. I want them to serve me. I want them to offer sacrifices to me. I want to be close to them. And Israel is a corrupt country. We cannot properly serve among corruptness. Notice. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, God gives Pharaoh a clear warning, but he's not listening. How many of you have ever had somebody tell you something and later on they say, well, remember when I told you that? And you don't even remember it ever being said to you. How many ever had that happen to you? Okay, well, listen to this. About 2 weeks ago, the group trying to buy us is dealing with their bank. And we had an appraisal on these buildings done 8 years ago for our bank. And I told them, I said it came back at $14.6 million. Well, that's what they're trying to buy it for at 14.6. And one of the banks they're dealing with says, I don't think the property's worth that. Do you have any evidence? It is. And so they called me and asked for that because I told them we had an appraisal. And they called me and asked for that. So I sent it to him. He says, that is very helpful. But there was another thing. He says, would you send me, you said the cell tower. Now, we have a cell tower upstairs. We get about $3,000 a month for it. We have for 13 years. They said, look, you said that somebody wanted to call you and wanted to buy the cell tower. We told the bank that, and they said, well, if you have evidence of that, then we'd like to have it because that would make a difference. You need a certain amount of liquidity of cash back, and you're putting a lot of cash down, and we're not sure you have enough cash for liquidity. But if you could sell that cell tower for $600,000, $700,000, then that would make a difference to us. So he called me and writes me for that. Now, let me explain this to you. I know that the group over there had a contract with a company called, the guy's name was Jason, was the guy that I was dealing with. And they got him to give them $700,000 for that cell tower. And they're going to use it for down payment. So I knew that. But what I didn't remember was that he had sent us an offer, an LOI that needed to be signed. Now, in exchange for that, they want the use of the cell tower for 30 more years. Well, we didn't want to do that. We didn't want to tie up the building for 30 more years because somebody else could come in and do it. So I entered in my computer and I said, Lord, I'm going to have to call that church and ask them for their paperwork. But just, I don't know why on a whim, I said, you know, I'm going to check and just put Jason's name in. And I put Jason's name in my computer email, and it came up, an LOI. If you shot me today, I would tell you we never got that. It came right up and had a place for my signature and the vice president's signature to give us $600,000 for the cell tower. I said, I don't remember that. That never happened. And it was right there. Pharaoh did not remember. I don't think, because he goes right along risking everything for his firstborn. And he's even told earlier. Now, at this point in time, if you stick with your stubbornness, your firstborn is going to die. Just like you've slain a lot of my firstborn in your slavery, your firstborn is going to die. Let them go. Now, I want you to notice in the outline, however, Pharaoh was warned before all the plague started. But notice D, then Moses turned the river to blood. Now look over chapter 7 and verse number 20. Now, this is the first judgment. It's not the first miracle. First miracle was the rod. And there's other miracles done also along the way. So he didn't have 10 events that happened. He had many more than that. But there were 10 judgments because of his stubbornness. And you'll notice in verse number 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. And so notice, if you would, in verse 17, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. So he says, I'm going to turn the river waters turn to blood. Well, notice, if you would, in the verse 18, the fish that in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Now, the Nile River is life to all of Egypt. They get their fish out of there. They get their water out of there. And that river is everything to them. So God touches one thing that's of critical importance to them first. But he doesn't ruin it. It's a temporary thing. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19, the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, and upon their streams and upon their rivers and upon their ponds and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. That there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So all the water becomes blood. Verse 20, Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. What good is that? I don't need more bloody water. So the Egyptians are, the Pharaoh is asking his mighty men, you might say, spiritual men, sorcerers, can you do this? And they could do it. That just shows you the power of Satan. And all of us in this room must be very careful in dealing in occult things and being around people that do that. You'll see here, Pharaoh looks at his sorcerers and says, can you do it? And they made it turn to blood, not in the same magnitude that Moses and Aaron did, but they couldn't stop it. So notice, if you would, verse 22, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. So he just says, oh, so what? And he turns and goes to his house. So then notice, if you would, chapter 8. Now, back up in the outline. The magicians also did the first two miracles by Satan's power. Then notice, Pharaoh still refused to let them go. Now, chapter 8, we start. Moses is instructed to bring up frogs in the land. Now, notice, the magicians matched this miracle also. So notice chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both upon thee, upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand. Verse 6, and Aaron stretched forth out his hand upon the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Now, I don't have to tell you how awful that would be. Frogs every place. You'd kill them, get them out, and they just kept multiplying. It's a plague that caused Pharaoh at the very beginning to say, okay, you can go. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. Give me some honor, some respect. And when I shall I retreat, entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs. Notice this, that they may be remain in the river only. Now look at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord, all caps, entreat your great God, the only one, the Yahweh, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let them go, the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. So on the second judgment, his heart breaks initially. But you can see by his response that he wasn't broken. And folks, when you're teaching children, you have to make sure that they have a broken heart or they'll do it again. We are the same way. If we don't have a heart that's contrite, we'll do it again. A contrite heart, the Bible says, the Lord values greatly, because it's when we humble ourselves before him. And so notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, okay, you want me to get the Lord to take them away from you? And it's a test as to his sincerity. He said, when, in verse 9, shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants? Now, what would you think should be the right answer? Somebody tell me. If you've got frogs in your in your kitchen and frogs in your bed. The other day, you know, my wife thought she saw a mouse run through the house. She said, I think there's a mouse in the house. Now, we don't have mice, but we've got mice traps out. I have to be careful where I go. You know, we got mice traps out. I'm very thankful that she stopped putting the mouse traps outside because we were catching every field mouse in the world. And so at least it got them inside. I'm very thankful. But I'm reminded if I would have had mice everywhere and I could call some company and say, would you come get rid of the mice? And they said, when do you want us to come? Brother Downs, what would you say for your wife? Today. Now. Get over here as fast as you can get here. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 9. When shall I treat for thee, for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thine houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. What's wrong with him? His heart's not broken. It's like when you correct a child and they say, do you understand what you did wrong? Yeah. Are you ever going to do it again? No, probably not. That's not a good answer. And so it's the same principle. It's a test. When do you want me to remove the frogs? The right answer would be as quickly as you can. That's what all of us would want. How many have ever been in pain in the hospital? How many have ever been in pain? I mean, you've been in great pain. Whenever I had the drunk driver hit me in the neck, hit me in a car and messed up my vertebrae in my neck, I would lay there in pain waiting for the next pill. And you can only take them for every 6 hours. And I remember I would just lay there and say, how much time left? 5 hours and 45 minutes. Nurse, can I have another pill? Can I have another shot? You got 15 minutes, Mr. Pittman, to wait. Oh. If she would have come in and said, I've got something that'll get rid of your pain permanently. When would you like it? I promise you it wouldn't have been tomorrow. Or the pain wasn't as great as it needed to be for Pharaoh. So he says tomorrow. Well, notice verse number 10. And he said tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word. Okay, I'll let it be according to what you asked for. Now notice in the outline, be The frogs became a horrible plague to Pharaoh, and he pled for Moses to ask the Lord to remove them. Now, there's two things about Pharaoh that I don't understand. Number one, tomorrow. But number two, his magicians, look in verse 7, chapter 8, verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs into the land of Egypt. I would have shot all my sorcerers. What I need was more frogs. What would you have normally said to them? What would you have asked them to do to show that they had power as the power that God had in Moses and Aaron? Hey, would you get rid of them? I wouldn't ask for him to give me more, to match it. So you see, Pharaoh really didn't want to let the people go. He really didn't want to believe that Yahweh was the great God that he's saying. So he's accepting anything his sorcerers can do. Just match it and I won't believe God. Just match it. And they did. Oh, great. More frogs. Could you get rid of the frogs when? Tomorrow. You can just sense his heart is not broken. Now, notice with me, if you would, verse 10. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. It sort of lends me to believe maybe he looked at the sorcerers and said, can you get rid of the frogs? And they said, nope. But he didn't want to reveal that. And so you'll notice the idea is that you may know that God is doing this. So in verse number 11, and the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. Not only was the plague evidence that God's power had done it, but when it stopped was evidence that God had done it. Do you remember Elijah? The Bible says in James, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. It didn't. And he prayed again and it brought forth rain. So the miracle that the rain stopped is one. Really, the second miracle is that God said, okay, it's going to start now. Well, tomorrow the frogs will be removed in one day. Tomorrow, as you said. So that you'll know that God did it. Many times our prayers, the old devil wants to mute the power of God. I got a headache. Oh, Lord, could you remove this headache? And all of a sudden it's gone in 30 minutes or an hour, and you've had it for a day or so. And then you begin to think, well, maybe it just naturally went away. The old devil wants to make it fuzzy that God really did it. Many times our answers to prayer are very clear according to our prayers. But the old devil will step in and say, well, it was about time the pain went away. It was about time that this would happen. And you're going to have to understand that Pharaoh here is saying, I don't believe, I don't know that God did this. And so Moses said, tomorrow they're going to be gone according to your word, so that God can prove to you that he did this. He brought them here and he took them away. I know you matched it, but you can't match them being removed on the day you've asked for. So many times the Lord asks us to pray specific prayers. Why? So we can clearly see that God is in it. Well, you'll notice here, look in the outline. See, he agreed to let Israel go because the frogs were so bad. I cannot imagine millions of frogs, thousands of them in my house. And I also can't imagine the smell when they've been removed. Notice, if you would, in the outline, the scriptures, verse 12. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. Now, this is what caused Moses to look like a god to Pharaoh, because he would go talk to his God and it would happen. And you and I have much that same power. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. When you and I begin to trust the Lord and ask for specific things and he answers, it'll fill your heart with courage that your God is listening to you. But we don't pray like that much. We don't ask the Lord to do things that only he can do. Notice, if you would, in the outline, C2, this delay clearly indicated Pharaoh's heart was not broken. Number three, the stink of the frogs still in the air, Pharaoh changed and said Israel could not go. Look at verse 14. And they gathered together upon heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, you'll notice in verse number 13, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields. It's like the Lord had a massive heart attack for all the frogs. They all just died. But they had to get them out of their houses. They had to get them out of their bedrooms. They had to get them out of their ovens. And when they threw them all out, the whole place just stank. That would have been enough right there to say, I give. But he's got 8 more judgments to go. It's an indication, folks, that all of us can get stubborn. Be careful of your heart. Because Pharaoh's unsaved. But the only difference between Pharaoh and a Christian is the Holy Spirit. Does Pharaoh have the flesh? Yes or no? Yes. Do I have the flesh? Yes or no? The only difference is the power of the Holy Spirit that God places in my heart the day I get saved. Now, every Christian in this room has got to make a decision daily. Will I listen to the Spirit of God or will I not? That is what makes Christians grow in Christ. If you want to be changed into His image, as our theme this year, you have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You get up in the morning, you read the Scriptures, you say, Lord, speak to my heart. And then, as you begin your time of prayer, maybe you got a prayer list. I have a prayer list with names on it, people unsaved, people that are ill. I have a prayer list that, but one of the things I say, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do today. Give me wisdom, Lord, so that I can know what the right answer is. Lord, I need your guidance. I will do what you say if you'll show me. And folks, the Holy Spirit will never fail you. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. He says, I'll give you what you need. But you have to be the one to say, I will obey. Don't be like Pharaoh. Pharaoh made up his mind, I'm not going to obey. Because if I do, it's going to cost me all my free labor. And when you and I obey, you may say, well, if I do obey the Lord, it's going to cost me maybe my pride if I witness to this guy. Maybe it's going to cost me some of my bank account if I obey the Lord. I just want to encourage all of you to realize that in obeying the Lord, sometimes it costs us, but most of the time it's a blessing. Even in paying a price, it's a blessing to us because the Lord fills in the blanks and strengthens our heart. Now, notice if you would in the outline, and we'll be finished. Look at Roman numeral 2. We must always be, and here's the key, willing to do the will of God. Stubbornness will always cost us, but obedience causes God to bless us. Let's all be blessed of God. Before you close your Bibles, I want you to turn to these two verses. Look at 1 Samuel 15, if you would. 1 Samuel 15. And as you turn there, I just want you to remember two words. Stubbornness and obedience. Notice verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, 22. Now this is when Saul said, oh, I did what you want, but he lied. And Samuel looked at him and said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings in you doing things that you want, that you think God wants, and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now notice this, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord simply told him to do something, and he didn't do it. He hath also rejected thee from being king. So he lost his greatest dream when he disobeyed because of his stubbornness. And folks, if you and I get stubborn, simply stubbornness is consistently saying no to the Holy Spirit as a Christian when he's trying to guide you into the right. So you and I have to say, Lord, I will obey. If you show me what you want me to do, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Lord will bless you with a joy of heart that cannot be bought if you obey. But if we're stubborn, we'll lose our greatest treasures. What was Pharaoh's greatest treasure, you think? A firstborn son. All of us in this room, the Lord loves us, but He wants us to follow Him. And He will bless us. Now, God does not want us to have the fruit of our sin. That's the reason the Bible says God is merciful. It's His nature to show mercy, to not give us what we deserve. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wants you to understand that He came to pay your debt of sin when you were still sinning, unforgiving, bitter, using foul language, having dirty thoughts. He said, I love you. And He said, I'm going to pay your debt of sin while we were yet sinners. But once we trust Him as Savior, you want to be blessed of God. You've got to yield your heart and say, Lord, I'll obey you in anything you say. And you'll grow in Christ and you'll have the blessing of God on your life. Tonight, are you like Pharaoh? Are you being stubborn about something in your life? Now, we all know that. Is there something in your life you're being stubborn about? If there is, Lord, I want to obey you. Give me clear direction and I'll do it. That brings the blessing of the Lord in your life. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask you to come. Just a moment. If you've got something you'd like to talk to the Lord about, whether it's you're struggling with something, you're struggling to obey, come ask Him for His strength. If you've got a stubborn streak, ask the Lord to forgive you and help you to remove it. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're not going to stand. We're just going to ask you, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want your help to help me be like you. Lord, I want to obey the Holy Spirit. I want to grow and be like you. I want to have the right attitude consistently. I want to say the right words consistently. Lord, I want your blessing upon my life. You must yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to guide our steps. Lord, we're not alone. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. I just pray that you'd help us to get rid of all the stubbornness that's in all of our hearts from time to time. Lord, help us to walk with you. Now speak to hearts tonight. Hear our prayers, Lord. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen.